a person that loves to make me laugh, apparently. You're right. A lady, a senior lady, as a matter of fact, walks out of a grocery store. And by the way, this is a true story, which makes it phenomenal. Senior lady walks out of a grocery store, goes into the parking lot, and sees four young men inside of her car, apparently going to steal it. This senior lady, who had had enough with people robbing and stealing from her, brought with herself a gun. This is a true story. Senior lady. She runs up to the side of the car, grocery bags in hand, drops the grocery bags and says, "Get out of the car! I have a pistol and I know how to use it." The four men inside of her car did not wait to be told twice. They got out of the car and ran. The lady, visibly shaken, jumps back inside of her car and goes to start it, and she's just so flustered, she just cannot get the car to start. She calms herself and steadies herself and begins looking around in the car. She looks in the passenger seat and sees a carton of cigarettes in the floor. She surely couldn't remember buying cigarettes. She looks in the back seat and sees a case of beer and a set of Frisbees and footballs and things like that. She could not remember ever putting those things in her car. She comes to the realization of a truth, and most of you have already gotten to that. This is not her car. Three or four cars away, she sees her car. She goes to her car, and she starts the car and decides, you know what, I better go to the police station and tell them what has happened. She goes to the police station and tells the man at the desk, "Sir, I've done something very bad. I held four men up at gunpoint and told them to get out of their car, which they did. And it turns out it was their car and not mine," and she explains the whole story. The sergeant is laughing hysterically. She can't figure out why the sergeant is laughing hysterically until he points out to her four young men down at that end of the desk that are reporting a carjacking from some crazy senior lady that held them at gunpoint to get them out of their own car. The moral of the story is this. Seniors, if you're going to have a senior moment, make it a very memorable one. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to try to finish up how to live a blessed life today and hopefully get on to the next subject for next week. But let's have a great morning this morning. There's no better place to be in the whole wide world than in church. On Sunday mornings, I'm going to tell you right now, all throughout the hustle and bustle of the entire week, I cannot wait to get to God's house. Just to take a moment to get a breath. Just to take a moment to realize how wonderful your Savior truly is. I cannot wait to get to God's house. So let's have a good day today. Amen? Take a break from the world. For the next couple hours, unplug from the world and plug in to Jesus Christ this morning. I know that sounds a little bit corny, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's not. We ought to be able to just worship. Come into a place. This should be your infirmary. This should be your place where you can come in sick and beat up from the world, because you'll get beat up in this world. If you live it all for Christ throughout the week, you will come in here beat up from week to week. Please do, because this is where you can get well. Amen? All right, let's start out with a word of prayer this morning before we have Sunday school, and I will get right to it. Brother Coolidge, could you please stand up and lead us in prayer? Yes. Amen. I just want to go quickly. In verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. We realize that this is talking about your spirit being poor, a destitution of your spirit, realizing that you need God. In verse number 4, blessed are they that mourn. The mourning is over your spirit. The mourning is over your how you are, what your condition is. Mourning over the decisions that you make. Mourning over this flesh that eats at you. You shall be comforted if you mourn over that. We live in a country today where it is no big deal to look at evil and think that it's okay. We look at this country today and we realize that more and more the waters are being muddied over what's right and wrong. Can I help you? The water's not muddy over right and wrong. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Even still today, the water's not muddied. If you look at verse number 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I would to God we'd live our lives a little bit more meek, a little bit more realizing that we truly need our Savior. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. These are people that use the Lord uses this in an amazing way. The two things that we really can focus on, and we know what they are, is hungering. We know what it's like to be hungry, although I don't believe America really truly knows what it's like to be hungry or thirsty, but we can use those two physical attributes to understand what God's trying to say. You should hunger in your life and thirst in your life after righteousness, the things that are truly righteous. We know we'll never attain those things, but you ought to hunger for them nevertheless. If you look at the next verse, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you look at people in a willingness to give mercy, a willingness to live your life in a pattern of giving mercy, there's going to be a day when you need to make a withdrawal on the mercy account. And it would be nice to have a little mercy in that account that you've given out. It would be nice to know that I've given mercy, and if you give it, certainly it will, the vast majority of the time, it will be paid back. You've got to understand, we need each other. We need each other. And we need to understand, we need to be kind and merciful to one another so we can obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, because you, the people that are pure in heart, will not look on a person and say, they must be bad. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they won't look at a person on the outside. They'll try desperately to see what's on the inside. I know you can't see what's on a person's heart, but you can. A pure in heart person will give the person the benefit of the doubt. A pure in heart person will say, that must not be what they meant. They must have meant something else, because that person inside is a good person. When's the last time you looked at somebody and said, they must be a good person? The majority of the time, a pastor always looks on the good and never thinks the bad. They never think the bad because they desperately want people to be good. They desperately want people to be good people. Today, we don't give the people a benefit of a doubt even for a minute. It's automatically, and I know this world's getting bad to the point where, you know what, vast majority of the time, maybe they are being bad. And maybe you will get hurt for putting yourself out there. Maybe you will suffer torment by putting yourself out there, and your back may get stabbed and your heart may get broke. May I challenge you today, even if those things happen, still put yourself out there. Because in this world we're living in, we don't give each other a chance enough to be good. We don't give each other a chance enough to do right. Constantly beating people up, constantly throwing them under the bus. That's not the life we ought to lead. We ought to look at the good first. Then we look on further to the next verse. This is a new one for us. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you look at this, you need to come to grips with this. We do not live in a time, at least not yet, that you are persecuted physically for what you believe. You may be called names. You may be persecuted in your work to where they say you're not performing your job correctly because you have this hanging on your wall or in your cubicle. That type of persecution, a door slamming in your face when you go on visitation, that type of persecution is the type of persecution we suffer. Really nothing more than that. There may be a day coming where we may suffer physical persecution, but I want to draw your attention to the simple fact that this is talking about how to live a blessed life. And what it's saying is this: blessed are the people that are going to be persecuted. Because to be persecuted, you've got to put yourself out there for Jesus Christ. To be persecuted, you've got to live your life in a way where people know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are who you believe you are. You've got to live your life in such a way, and I'm not a lifestyle evangelist, but I will say this: you ought to live your life where people know what your lifestyle is. I'm not saying that your lifestyle is going to get somebody saved, but what I am saying this: your lifestyle ought not get somebody lost. We live our lives in the ability, because we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we live our lives with the ability to live for something else, something other than us. Do people know that around you? Would people be willing to say, you're a Christian? Would they even know that you're a Christian? Would they even know? Do you live your life in such a way that you would even suffer persecution? See, persecution's not easy to deal with. Persecution's not something that's readily accepted by people. You don't want to be persecuted. It's not something you desire. If you say you desire to be persecuted, you need to check yourself into a hospital. But I will say this: there's a life that you can live that, yeah, you're persecuted, but you're persecuted for the right reason you're persecuted. And I would to God that if I am persecuted, it's for Him, not for being who I am. Although I'm a big, easy target to be persecuted. I'm a goober. But I would to God that we live our lives in such a way that if Christ is going to be persecuted, Christ is going to be defiled, you're going to be lumped in the crowd that's a Christ person. You're going to be lumped in the crowd of a person that adores Christ. You're going to be lumped in the crowd of somebody that is a saved person. The vast majority of us live our lives where people don't even know you're a Christian. No idea. Oh, you go to church? I didn't know that. Man, that would make me weep. That would make me cry. That would torment my soul if somebody came up to me and said, you go to church? I've said this several times. My good friend came to me, hair down the middle of my back, earring in my ear, said to me, man, you need to know Christ as your Savior. And I told him, I do. He says, man, you need to go to church. I said, you're right. He said, because you certainly don't look like a Christian. You certainly don't act like a Christian. And I'm going to be honest with you, if you'd be honest with yourself, you know people that live just like that. Here's the sad thing. Do you look in the mirror and see one of them every day? That's unwilling to live your life for Christ, unwilling to stand up for what is right. See, the older folks are dying off. The folks that stood for right. The folks, the gray-headed, that knew what was right and wrong, knew what was right and wrong. We act like we don't know. But I got to be honest with you, folks. I think we do know what is right and what is wrong. I think this old world knows what's right and wrong. And they want wrong. That's what they would rather have, is wrong. Are you on the side of the persecuted? Are you a person even able to say, blessed are ye when men shall revile you? Look at verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Very interesting three words at the end here. For my sake. Now that does not give us a free pass to go out and do things to be persecuted. It does not give you a free pass to say, well, blessed be the Lord. I get talked about behind my back all the time, and because of that, I am blessed. No, because sometimes the talk behind your back is probably true and not Christian related. So you can't go out and just say, well, I'm being persecuted. I'm being a big fat target. Woe is me. No, if you're being persecuted, it needs to be for His name's sake for you to be blessed. It can't just be any persecution, anything at all. It's got to be for His name's sake. Blessed, in verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Interesting note. If you look at verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at this. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit and the persecuted for righteousness' sake have something in common. Theirs is both the kingdom of heaven. We learned We learned that the poor in spirit see heaven as it is. Heaven as it is a group of people that get an opportunity for something great knowing that they don't deserve it. You got to understand that. You have an opportunity for, everybody has this opportunity, by the way, to get saved. Everybody has that opportunity. Nobody deserves it. The ones that take advantage of it and accept the Lord as their Savior, they've got heaven waiting for them. They understand, being poor in spirit, that they don't deserve what they're getting, but they are going to get it. That's exciting that you're going to walk streets of gold someday, Christian. It's exciting that we're going to get to eat filet mignon and a table filled with people. That's exciting to me. It's exciting that the Lord is going to prepare a place just for me someday. It's exciting to know that I'm going to breathe free air someday, free from sin. That's exciting to me. That's seeing heaven as it is. I want to take your attention to Romans chapter 8 real quickly. I'm going to start in verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's a shouting verse, folks. And if children, strap on your seatbelts, because you got to understand something. This is what you are. This, if you're saved today in here, if you're saved, you are a child, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's quite an inheritance. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, not to us, O God. Not revealed to us. The glory is going to be revealed in us. You may suffer today, but there's going to be a day when the suffering is over. There's going to be a day when the suffering that you faced today is no more. There's going to be a day when the glory is revealed in you. There's going to be a day that those that are persecuted every day, living a blessed life, understanding that, hey, you're walking as a Christian, but the suffering and the persecution that you get today is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in you. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at one more verse with me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I just got excited about all this. I don't know about you, and I know it's early, but I've had my coffee this morning, and if you haven't had yours, I feel bad for you. Hebrews chapter 11, and you know that this is the faith chapter. Verse 24 we'll start with, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Would to God we'd live our life that way. Would to God we'd say, I'm not going to exact pleasure of this world for one season. I'd rather be with God's people suffering. I'd rather be with God's people. You say, I don't like to suffer. Nobody likes to suffer. But there's going to be a day when we get to heaven that you're going to wish that you had. I can't even imagine shaking hands with Paul. Christian, you got to know this. You realize these people blazed a trail for you. Blazed a trail for me with the blood of their own bodies. Blazed a trail with the stripes of their back. Blazed a trail getting stoned and left for dead. They blazed a trail for us suffering real persecution. And we can't knock on a door. They suffered persecution and we can't get called to Jesus freak without crying for an hour. they suffered persecution, giving us that faith, revealing that faith, and the Lord entrusted them with that faith. And I understand that God would have brought that faith to us. But you've got to come to grips with some. Eventually, you've got to put something on the back of these great men. Because Paul truly was great and a murderer. The glory was revealed in Paul because he preached the gospel. I can't imagine what the glory being revealed in him is in heaven. See, to me, we've got to understand what these scriptures, what the Lord is trying to tell us here. Verse 26 of Hebrews 11, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Look at these next words, my friend. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now listen to me. Egypt was not a poor place. Egypt was gold everywhere. The Pharaoh was treated as God. The pomp and circumstance, anytime that man entered the room, had to be incredible. And Moses, seeing all that, decided that suffering for Christ is greater than anything the world had to offer. Well, Brother Dave, if I cheat just a little bit. If I cheat just a little bit and make all this money, I can have a great house. But you giving up your testimony is not worth the nice house. Well, if I just play the lotto one time and I hit the lotto, I'll give the money to the church. You liar. And I may step on toes here, but understand this. The world's riches are not to be compared with what Christ has for us. You may not understand that now. You may not understand, well, Brother Dave, I wish I could pay my bills. Quit making them and you may be able to pay them. Well, Brother Dave, boy, that preach is good. Man alive. And by the way, I'm preaching at me with that. You can say what you want. I'm preaching at me. I made my own bills. That's my fault. God didn't come down and say, sign here. Brother Dave signed there without God's help. If you remember what I said, that the poor in spirit see heaven as it is. Oh, listen to this, Christian. The persecuted for Christ see heaven as it will be. The persecuted for Christ see that, you know, maybe down here it's not as easy. But when we get there, they are suffering. Understand, the people of this time were suffering beatings. The people of this time were suffering badly. We're not suffering today. You say you're suffering, you're not suffering. They were suffering back then, and they still said in the beatings, in the stoning, Stephen looking up to heaven as a face of an angel because he knew that he's looking at Christ. He sees this because he understands he's getting beaten. He understands he's getting persecuted at Saul's hand, by the way, who became Paul. It's amazing to me. Paul was a murderer, yet one of the greatest men in the scriptures. And yet, Stephen standing there as a Christian martyr, understanding that I know I'm walking on stony ground here, but there will be ground of gold. Do you think Stephen was upset at his stoning? No way. You know why? He was blessed. Blessed, which are persecuted. Now, I'm not saying that you ought to go out and get yourself thrown rocks at. I'm not saying that. Avoid the rocks at all costs if you can. But you must understand this. If you do suffer persecution for Christ, that means one thing to me. If you suffer persecution, they know you're a Christian. If you suffer persecution, it's because you're talking about your Savior. If you suffer persecution, it's because you've got yourself out there. As a Christian, you got yourself on a limb for Christ. He put himself on a pretty nice limb for us, didn't he? You've got yourself out there. And because you've got yourself out there, you may suffer persecution. It may be hard. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's nothing. It's nothing compared to what you're going to receive there. Christian, I've got to ask you. Do you think about heaven? Because I ask myself this question. Do I think about heaven? Do I think about what I'm going to receive at Christ's hands? Because to be real honest with you, I realize that I am so unworthy of even breathing a breath of air from there. But he went and prepared a place for me. He's preparing it right now. And he's pretty good at building, I've got to imagine. I've got to imagine it's been a long, long time since he started building homes in heaven. And if you want a room in heaven, you can have one, but I've got a mansion waiting for me. If you want a room, grab a hold of that old NIV, not inspired version. You grab a hold of that and read room in there if you want to read room. But I got to be honest with you, mine says mansion. There's a little bit of a difference between Stan Hewitt Hall and a room down at Holiday Inn. I've got myself a mansion waiting on me. I've got myself a mansion that was fashioned by the Creator of the world. And I cannot wait to get there. So if I get called a Jesus freak a little down here, it's not worthy to be compared for what's waiting for me there. And if I can live my life one more day and be persecuted for him, what a blessed life that's going to be. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Don't agree with a person that says abortion is not murder. Don't agree with that person. Abortion's murder. You're a hardliner. Good. Hardliner. I'm a one-liner. I'm an only-liner. Jesus Christ is the only way. And if you think for 1 minute, listen, you could be shown picture after picture after picture after picture of an aborted child, and I guarantee you by the end of the fourth or fifth one, you'll be weeping to yourself saying, oh, God, make it stop. That's real. Yet we don't stand for what is right. Amen. Blessed are they. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, Christian, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Your reward, Christian, which you don't deserve. Think about this. I love that verse. You get rewarded on top of getting heaven. First of all, and this is nothing new, but it always excites me, and if it doesn't excite you, it's okay. Check out later. It excites me that the Savior saw me. It excites me that he knew me and yet still came. It excites me that not only did he come, he lived on this putrid earth for 33 and a third years and then decided that, you know what, I'm going to Calvary for him. Then not only that, he went to Calvary, suffered and died the worst beating ever known to man. He went to prepare a place for me. It would have been good enough if I could just be on the outskirts of the farthest porch away. If I was homeless in heaven, glory to God. But he's preparing a place for me. Beyond that, if I live my life in any semblance of a decent manner down here, being fleshly and wicked as I am, he's going to reward me for what I do here. That's not works. That's a blessing. Good Lord, have mercy. Why in the world? If it was nothing else but just to get people saved because you don't deserve salvation, that's one thing. But glory to God, he's saying, Brother Carl, your labor's not in vain. I'm going to reward you when you get here. Whew. One amen. I'm going to tell you right now, what a great promise we've got waiting for us. You know what's funny? And I'll probably be one of them. I watch prayers get answered all the time. It's hilarious. I'll pray about something. I'll see it get answered, and I'll say, man, that's great. Did God really do that? You ever been there? You see somebody get a prayer answered, and you say, nuh-uh. You ever done that? What else have? How did that happen that, you know, somebody must have dropped? Yeah, we're out of food. Somebody must have dropped. Somebody just dropped off groceries because they found out, right? It's amazing that God will do something and we won't give God credit. It's amazing that something will happen. It's amazing. You'll say, it must have been a pill I took. I've been there. Let me tell you something. I've been there like a lot. Where I see God, and I'll pray for it, and the next day it happened, you say, well, nah, I don't believe that was God. Something must have happened in the, you know, what are you going to do? Well, the disciples were no different back then. Peter came to the door. They said, get out of here. It's not Peter. He's in jail. Come on. They were just praying for it. And God did it. And they said, nah. I know you've been there. I've been there a lot of times. And God is truly amazing that he continues to answer even through all those things. Whoops. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what, though? I believe that when the rapture happens, it's going to be like that on the way up. Think about that for a minute. I know the rapture's coming. I'm saved. I can't wait. But I know on the way up, we're going to say, uh-uh. That's why it's in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, because otherwise we'd all have heart attacks halfway up. If it was slow like a roller coaster, tick, 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 going up, you'd be like, oh my goodness, well, I'm levitating. Who's doing this? Who is doing this? And the voice from heaven, come up hither. Who was that? Somebody in a jet up there? That's why it's going to be so fast, because the Lord can't count on you coming. He's going to say, what? Come up hither. We're going to be up and standing right now. Ooh. It really happened. You're going to stand there and say to yourself, unless the Lord takes the sin out of you right then, it really happened. The rapture really happened. It really happened. Woohoo! The next few steps are going to be skipping. Yeah, you'll skip. I would skip. I mean, how excited are you going to be when you get to heaven? How excited are you really going to be when you walk on the streets of gold? How excited are you really going to be and you're going to remember the times that you were persecuted for his name's sake, and you're going to say, man, that was nothing compared to this. Blessed are they which are persecuted for my name's sake. Glory to God, I can't wait for the rewards. But we shouldn't do it for that. Blessed are they which realize that you are serving a Savior that went the extra 100 miles for you. When they used to talk to me about a personal Savior, and he would have died just for you. If you were the only one, he would have died just for you. It didn't dawn on me until the last probably 6 or 8 years what personal Savior really meant. Understanding that he looked at you, my friend. You, personally. And it really excites me to know that who I was and what I did not dictate whether Christ saved me or not. He died for me for who I was. Before I knew him, he knew me. Before I was even fashioned in my mother's womb, he knew me. He knew what I would do. He knew that I'd get saved, and he knew I'd live like the devil after my salvation. Hey, don't panic over that. A lot of folks, well, I got saved and I lived good ever since. No. Not me. I got saved and started to party. And you can say what you want to say, but that's what I did, and Christ still loves me. I came away from Christ, so don't you yell at somebody that goes away from Christ. That happens. This life is not easy. Living your life in church and doing right things may not be easy, but it's worth it all. And Christ is patient with you. He's long-suffering with you. Why? He died for you. If he died for you, certainly he's going to give you the benefit of a couple thousand doubts. and the things that you do here will not get you to heaven. But they will make heaven very sweet when you get there. And I understand heaven's already going to be sweet. Don't come to me with your Pharisaical attitude later on. Brother Dave, you just don't know what you're talking about. Maybe I don't. But when we get to heaven, you'll know what you're talking about. Because my Bible says in these few words, in these verses that Jesus Christ gives to you, the Beatitudes, and we're done with the Beatitudes. Can you believe it? We made it. Like 8 years later, we're finally done with the Beatitudes. I see one thread that goes throughout every single verse. Every single thought that Christ gives you is woven in these few verses over how to live a blessed life. And you can sum it up, and a preacher preaches a great message on this. You can sum it up with one word. All those verses can be summed up with one single word. Others. Because if you are blessed, you're going to think of others. If you're blessed, you're going to help serve others. If you're blessed, you're going to receive persecution from trying to help others. Nowhere in those verses will you find you. But you can live a blessed life serving others. Why did Christ come? Why did he come? For others. He did not come for himself. If it was me that was in heaven, I would have stood at the edge of heaven and said, you guys are on your own. If that's what you're planning on doing to me, I'm not even coming. The smell's beautiful up here. Streets are pretty. The walls are jewels. I'm not going to come down there. Why would I come down there? And then when I did come down, if I did come down, I would have called the angels right away. Hey, angels, they don't even have a place for me to sleep. Clear out a room in the hotel. And give me a nice place so I can pillow my head. No, he walked this earth for his years with no pillow. He walked his walk on this earth with basically nobody really truly loving him except a couple disciples. Most people reviled him. Most people kicked him out of their country. Most people, while he walked this earth, hated him. But he saw Phil. He knew Phil someday. He saw Brother Mark. Boy, I hope this doesn't get old to you, Christian. Amen. I hope this doesn't get old to you. He saw Brian. Personally. He saw Brother Coolidge. And he said, I'm going to come. He saw Brother Carl and said, I'm going to go for him. Oh, Christian, blessed are they that think of others for my name's sake. That's what those verses are telling you. Blessed are they. Live your life right, Christian. Stand up for right. It's worth standing up for right. And by the way, let people know where you stand. Let them know. I'm against abortion. You talk to me about abortion. Abortion's murder. And I'm going to be honest with you, the people that have had them, they know it after it's done. I've spoken to some that have had it. You ripped their heart out. They may have thought that evil was right at the time, but afterwards that rips their heart out. Rips their heart out. Stand up for right, my friend, because we've got a wonderful, wonderful heaven waiting for us. Abide for now. Hold out faithful now, not because you're going to merit heaven, but because when you get there, you're going to be so thankful that you did. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we will never be able to come to grips with how great you truly are. I believe we're going to spend an eternity learning. I can't wait for that eternity. I am very interested in seeing the nail-pierced hands. I am very interested in seeing your eyes, your furrowed brow, your wonderful smile. It's got to be fantastic to look upon the Savior. Lord, the white garments that we're going to be in, walking the streets of perfect gold. The food there has got to be tremendous. The crystal sea, how beautiful. the buildings and all their gem-filled array waiting for us to just walk through the neighborhood, seeing Moses, David, Paul, Abraham, and knowing who they are, and them knowing us. Lord God, we don't deserve anything that you give us. Please, help me to live for you. Help me to do more for you. Help me, in the finite human mind that I have, help me to grasp how great you truly are. Lord, be with us today. Let us have a great Thanksgiving week. And Lord, anoint my pastor this morning. Let him preach with your fire. Let him preach with your anointing. And bless this church. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.